Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.
From the heart of Broadway here on historic downtown Cape Girardeau. No, in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. It's...
I mean, we're kind of on... Like, if the...
We're
if,
on
if the
city
is the land.
I feel
we're
like...
We're on top
land.
Of it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's when we mess up that we're the most endearing.
Not really, because the earth is flat. We're all connected to the earth. There's no up or down.
Rapper. I don't like this bit.
Rapper. Who's the rapper?
The dude who did the song, and he's like, hey, I'm going to have Eminem be on my song. B.O.B.
B.O.B., yeah.
And it's like, why would you ever, as a rapper, have Eminem on your song? Because he's just going to completely outshine you.
What happened to that guy? I liked him at one point. He did a song with Hayley Williams.
Mm-hmm. Same song. Airplanes.
Wait, Eminem was on that?
Yeah. There were two versions.
Oh, I never heard the Eminem version. I think I know what the opening song's going to be.
The Eminem verse of that song?
No, I was thinking the Ghostbusters theme again. But anyway, hey, it's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man. It's Tuesday, August 9th. No Man's Sky came out today. I have not played it, but the important thing is that Demon Hunters are now officially out for World of Warcraft. So if you're listening to this and not playing them, what's wrong with you?
They're listening to this in the background.
Yeah, while you play. With me tonight, as always, my co-host for the evening, Mr. Asa Gray, the Five-Star Man.
Five?
Yep. Ali Abair, our
Hello.
Producer. And for the first time ever on the show together,
I knew it.
Jesse and Ali are on the show together.
It's objectively not true.
Hello, Jesse Kimball.
Hey.
Now, Jesse Kimball doesn't get out of bed for just any Tuesday show.
That's true. I am skipping out on valuable Overwatch time with my PC buddies.
That's true. And if you have a chance to get Overwatch instead of hang out with your friends, you're going to take it.
They're my friends, too.
Did you get that reference?
I did.
Okay, good.
I missed it.
Dalton.
Yeah, Dalton's on my shit list a little bit.
Just replace Overwatch with...
Nope, we're not doing
that. We're not
okay,
doing
that.
That's not the Thursday show.
Just moving right. on.
So tonight's topic, and also Ethan in the background. I always mention that because I want Ethan to feel like he's important. I'm the only one that does that, so... Hey, buddy.
I've had Ethan on Nerd Up a little bit on Sunday.
He's consistently on the Thursday show now.
What, Ethan? What's wrong, buddy?
But we have a special show for you tonight. Here's what happened. Today... the reason Jesse Kimball is here, today I got online, and one of the first stories that I saw on the Facebook feed was Nintendo has shut down the archived site for the Nintendo Power magazine. Somebody had gone online, they'd scanned in the first 13 years of Nintendo Power, and they posted on, I think, archive.org or something like that.
I'm not sure.
And it was really cool. You could go there, you could look up some history, you could see the how gaming magazines used to look, because Nintendo Power was awesome, especially
the first.
Yeah,
that was the first video game, like, magazine that I was subscribed to.
Yeah, it was great.
Good stuff.
Tips and tricks, you know, we were all kids when it came out, so it was new stuff to us. It was for the internet.
Right.
So Nintendo Power is where you got your information. And I love Nintendo Power. I actually have stacks of them at home. I have a bunch that I bought from the store for dirt cheap. Mm-hmm. Some idiot traded them in. But for people that don't have those magazines, there's nowhere to get them. So what do you do? Well, someone was kind enough to upload it to archive, and you can now go look at them. Except you can't, because Nintendo pulled them down, despite giving you no option to look at it somewhere else. You can't go to Nintendo.com and buy back issues. You can't subscribe to a digital service and read them online. Mm-hmm. There's literally nothing to do with these magazines.
Yeah, I really don't understand. It's not like they were making a profit off of this.
No, this was free.
Yeah.
This was free information.
And also, you know, Nintendo Power ended earlier this year? Last year.
Yeah. It's done.
Yeah, so there is just no more. It's not like, you know, they were, oh, I don't need to read the new issues because now all these old ones are here. Like, that's...
Yeah, there's
that's
no
a
reason.
Stupid argument anyway.
That's Nintendo logic in action.
It's pretty much, they're just alienating their fans, more so. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Nintendo alienating their fans, bad marketing by video game companies. And we're going to start off with something in that vein that we just told Jesse about. Before we do, Asa, you had something to say.
Oh, just like the only reason I could see Nintendo wanting to do this is if they were going to do an official version themselves.
Yeah.
Which is great.
But they won't. And if they do it, you can bet your bottom dollar it won't be free.
No.
No. Yeah, of course not.
And that's not the only thing that Nintendo did this week. They actually did a couple of other things that kind of drove me crazy. But we're going to get into that later. First off, before we talk about that, I don't know where to start. So let's start off with... Before we get to the Jesse thing, let's stop off with the Whopperito.
I really like that you're, the way that you're, no one else can see this, but you're looking like you look on PWU PWD. Yeah, it's like, it looks like you're looking at notes, like trying to figure out the order to
but
go
there's
in.
Just a surge.
No, no. It's just a surge.
Let me explain to you how the show works now. When we first started Podzilla 1985, I would look at everybody the whole time. I would stare at them. I would talk to them. Somewhere along the line, I've gotten either socially awkward or I'm so used to seeing everybody like on their phones and stuff, and it irritates me that I look down when I talk because if I don't see it, it can't hurt me. It's the old logic of when you're a kid and you don't want the monster to get you. If I can't see it,
see no
evil. Can't see me.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
So I apologize to you guys if I look down at the can constantly. I'm not reading
you're just,
it.
You're just waiting for the surge to tell you what to do.
It's just saying, drink me.
It hasn't said anything in a while, unfortunately. It's left me bone dry. The Whopperito. Can we talk about that for 1 second?
Yes, please.
We talked about it before the show because Allie and I are hungry. Asa and Jesse got food. And then suddenly it got on the subject of the Whopperito. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically a Whopper that has become a burrito that's coming out soon.
They took all, I think it's August 15th, because I may or may not have looked it up, because I saw it on Michael Spies' Facebook.
I think I did too originally.
He, because I posted the picture of the cosmic cat and the heavy breathing.
Heavy breathing intensifies.
I'm not
almost
kidding.
Bit my surge out.
When I say my body is not ready for this, I genuinely mean this is what's going to kill me.
Nobody's body is ready for this. I can only think of one official body that looks like it's ready for the Whopperito, and I'm not going to say any names.
It's all of the fixings of a Whopper wrapped up in a tortilla, and it's beautiful.
Ugh,
I think I'm most excited to see what it looks like in real life because.
Well, did you see what the hot dogs look like in real life?
That's why. Because the hot dogs and those mac and Cheetos bites things, yeah. Like, this is what they're supposed to look like. Here's what the ones that are made out of like toilet paper roll and wax.
Expectation versus reality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Which is a fantastic subreddit, by the way.
It really is.
Have you ever seen the movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
Yes.
There's a part, like, it's about this, like, kind of,
he just loses it in traffic.
Yeah, he loses it and he just goes on a rampage. He's like an average guy, you know, just a regular dude that works 9 to 5. And he goes into a fast food restaurant and orders like a burger. And they give him a burger. And then he like looks at it and looks at the sign and just points out, can you see a difference here? And then I think he shoots everyone in the restaurant. Oh. But maybe not. Maybe that's later.
There was actually somebody did a documentary of going around and trying to see which restaurant could replicate the picture the best.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually Jack in the Box. Spoiler.
But say, I know who it's not. It's not Little Caesars.
It's definitely not Burger King. I worked at Burger King for almost a year. And yeah, nothing from Burger King that you ever buy looks anything like what the marketing material does. It all just looks so much worse, mostly because of the lettuce. But either way, he would just order it. He would order the sandwich or whatever, and just to see how close it would be right off the bat. It was every single restaurant he went to failed. And then he would go up there and ask, like, super polite, like he wasn't being an ass or anything. He was just like, hey, so I want to see how close you could make this sandwich look like that. And, Jack in the Box did the best. Like, they had actually like a picture perfect, like you could probably make the thing into a commercial. Like, it was just a really good looking sandwich.
I've never been to Jack in the Box.
See, okay, and that was the initial rift. Cause when we came home from Battleground in St. Louis, we stopped at the same exit I always stop at
the
anytime
Herculaneum.
I leave St. Louis in Herculaneum. But you guys all, like, I'm like, where are you going? No, Jack in the Box is on this side of the interstate.
No, we hit QT.
You guys go to QT.
Which is our tradition, which I think that tradition is ready to die.
Well, why? Like everyone's tradition though.
No. What, QT?
My mom does that.
Mine was always Jack in the Box because there's no Jack in the Box in Cape. Started with Justin Lane and started with Justin Lane and Lee Hodges the first time we went up to St. Louis for a Raw. And then it's like, oh, we can stop down on the way to there's a Jack in the Box. We can eat there. And then like when I go into the QT and because you guys like I'm expecting like a red carpet to
you
come out.
You expect
a
Shangri-La.
I really did way you guys talked about it. And then I go up and I see the food, like the dogs on the rollers that had been there since like 9 a.m. yesterday morning.
It's a gas station.
Yeah.
To be fair, that the food there is actually like ridiculously clean and they keep it real fresh. It may not have been that night.
Gas stations.
Oh, it's a fantastic gas station.
Yeah.
So is Jack in the Box.
But anyway, no, the point is, like, I think the way our tradition started, we would always eat somewhere in St. Louis, mm-hmm. like, whenever we would go up there. So we would have, like, a pizza or whatever at some place. So it's not like we're hungry for a meal on our way back. So we would stop at QT to get a drink and maybe a couple of roller items.
Yeah, get a roller dog. Yeah. You know?
Especially because there for a long time, they were, you know, two for $2.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
So, yeah, you can grab yourself a nice little taquito and
get two tacos for a dollar.
I think the the best gay station, gay station.
The gay station.
The gay community?
The best gas station find I ever found. That sounds dirty already. As we were coming back from Pennsylvania, and it was in Christmas time. It was snowing. It was beautiful outside. And the gas station we stopped at had, like, a Taco Bell slash Long John Silver's.
Oh,
and you think, ew. Mm-hmm.
I just picture that dumpster, like, mm-hmm. and having to take out the trash.
Are you talking about the toilets? No. And I ordered, like, a quesadilla and shrimp and stuff like that. And Lindsay's looking at me like, that looks disgusting. I'm like, no, this is Christmas.
Well, no, like, there was that gas station that was right next to, whenever we were coming back from Indianapolis, mm-hmm. there we went to a Taco Bell that was really gross and just awful.
It had a now hiring manager, like, hand-drawn sign.
Oh, yeah, no, it was terrible. Spelled.
It was real Indiana.
It was the R backwards.
It was now hiring a manager.
It was in Illinois by that point. Yeah, we were well in Illinois.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because we were trying to find a Jack in the Box there, actually.
What was the name of that town?
I don't
Because I remember,
remember
laughing at the name of the town, too.
It was real funny. It's something like in western Illinois, but I don't know what the town was. Like, it was the last big town in Illinois before you get to Anna.
Cody, if you know.
Or Tanner.
I was going to say, or Tanner.
But basically, okay, so we get out of the, like, it was the nastiest Taco Bell ever. Like, me and Mandy had to go to the bathroom, didn't want to in this Taco Bell. Because it was bad.
Yeah.
So we went over to the gas station across the street. We just walked over there. And it was like the cleanest, most sparkling gas station I've ever been in my life. And it had a food court.
In a gas station?
In a gas station.
They literally came back to the car. Because Steffi and I stayed in the car. Because we had just eaten. We didn't, like, we were ready to go. So Jesse and Mandy went over there. They come back, like, literally in awe.
Stars in their eyes.
They were.
Yeah.
Like, There's a food court, and it's, how does this exist?
There was a church in that place.
How does this exist in the same even, like, state as the Taco Bell we just ate at?
One summer, whenever I was in Texas, I forget what this gas station is called, but I'm pretty sure it's a chain, and it was huge, and whenever you went inside, it was like a grocery store. And I remember because we just off there to go to the bathroom, there was, like, bins of framed art by the bathrooms, and I'm like, what is this?
I think I went to a similar gas station when we were coming back from RTX.
Like, if I saw the symbol, like, the logo, I would know it, but I can't remember what it's called.
But it's huge. Food court. Sbarro's, Chick-fil-A, Arby's, and something else inside this gas station.
And there were no signs to it either.
So better than the mall here at Cape Girardeau.
Yes.
Yeah.
Has ever been.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
since they had a McDonald's.
But so that's the I think that's the main reason I'm really excited for this Whopperito, is because I want to see what it looks like in person, because it's not going to look.
It's not.
Not even close.
No. But,
and it's going to have that meat-like paste that goes in, like, Hardee's burritos
now,
and
to be fair,
school lunches.
Sometimes things can surprise you from the way they look. Jesse can tell you that we went to, what was it called? The pizza place.
Oh, JJ Twigs.
JJ Twigs. And we ordered, the double-decker pizza. We're like, well, we'll get two, one for each of us. Because this was my birthday.
Yeah.
We said birthday, and we went on with it. So they bring us out the pizzas, and we look at it and go, well, that's kind of small, actually. And then we started to eat it, and we got halfway through it, and I'm sweating. Jesse's sweating.
I'm actually dead because of that pizza.
Oh, my God. When Allie and I went, there's a picture of it on Facebook. She looked at the pizza, and she had a look of concern that is usually only reserved for new porn stars when they're meeting their co-star for the first time. And he whips out the tree log.
Jesus Christ. This is the Thursday show.
I remember when we went, when I went with you guys, because you're like, okay, we're going to get a pizza, and we're going to get an appetizer. I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll get this other appetizer, and then that'll be enough for the three of us, or four of us, whoever it was that were all up there. And you were just like, no, this is what we're ordering. No. That's all we're ordering.
This is it.
Trust me.
Because, like, it's one of those things, like, for those of you that haven't been there, it's like a 14-inch pizza, which is not big for a large pizza.
No.
Like, it was pretty small, and me and Shannon were both looking at it like, huh.
Because Jesse and I are big guys. We're not twinks.
No, and especially like this was back in a day and time when we would meet every Sunday and me and Shannon would just knock out a like a large Little Caesars each.
We could plow through pizza pretty easy at the time. Mm-hmm. And if I get a chance to get pizza instead of hang out with some friends, I'm gonna get that pizza.
Oh my God. Anyway, but yeah, no, like it what it fools you because it's two. Now, going back to the original point, I know you did not just compare JJ Twiggs to Burger King.
No, never, never.
Like, this is not an applicable,
no,
like, relationship
there's,
here.
There's a huge difference between J.J. Twiggs and Burger King.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
One's a king, and the other makes good food.
Yeah, no, that thing is going to look like garbage. It's going to taste like garbage.
And it's
going to
be as expensive as garbage.
No, it's only like $3. Or no. So yeah, it's like $2.50 for one.
All right, well,
we're going to get an official taste test from Asa Gray, and on an upcoming episode of Mr. 100 the Five Star Man, he's going to review it because that's going to happen.
If I'm being honest, the only ingredients that I like on a Whopper is the ketchup, the lettuce, and the tomato.
I think all those are going to be on there.
They are. Yeah. In addition to, I did see a onion, pickle, and mayonnaise.
I mean, but you can have it your way. It's Burger King.
Yeah,
it's fresh.
Yeah.
Also, tonight's episode of Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man is brought to you by Euphoria Magazine. Catch the newest issue on newsstands tomorrow, but only specific ones we can't tell you about. Because that's how hipsters live.
I don't even get that joke.
He's so euphoric right now. Actually, the only reason I understand what he was talking about is because I could see the picture pulled up on the computer over
Love
there.
Euphoria Magazine.
it can help you pick out a neckbeard?
It's the neckbeard guy. Oh, okay. Like the gotcha. I am euphoric and my atheism or something like that.
It'll help you pick out the best fedora.
I gotcha.
It'll tell you tips and tricks on how to get a girl to talk to you, including old classics like Please Respond.
That's my favorite. Please respond.
I wish that was a magazine.
And I will
CJ
say too,
would read it.
Since we were talking about the documentary that like went and tried to make the best burger.
Yeah.
McDonald's, I think it was either McDonald's or Burger King one posted a video online of like FAQs, like corporate people answer questions. And someone asked like, how come your burgers never look like they do in the ads? And they actually answered it really well. Like actually all of our burgers in the ads have the same ingredients as a burger that you would get from our store. They're just positioned so weird. Because you only care in the commercial, you only care of what about a quarter of the burger looks like. So they put all of the ketchup, all of the mustard, the little bit of onion that sticks out, the pickle that sticks out, everything's just on that side.
I believe it.
And it's one of those things where it's like, man, I really wanted to come into this and just laugh at like, oh yeah, that's made out of like shoe polish and, you know.
And I mean I think
they
that
do
was...
stuff like that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they do stuff like that, but the product you order never even looks close to it. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, because we have to evenly distribute everything. And I was like, that makes way more logical. Like, that's way more logic than I ever would have put into McDonald's burger.
It sounds like the equivalent of you get on Tinder and you see a picture of Dalton from one angle and you think it looks good, but then when you see him in person, it's the whole thing. I'm getting the notion to wrap it up now.
Yeah.
So let's drop
So fun fact with that kind of stuff. Did you know that every picture of ice cream that you see in marketing material is actually mashed potatoes?
Yep.
I did not
cereal,
know
cereal, the milk is glue.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I didn't know any of these things.
There's got to be at least a documentary or something. If you go, there's YouTube videos at least of like how they actually get food.
It
to
has
look.
To be like marketing.
Yeah.
Class
it's,
homework.
Yeah. It's some, yeah. It's really interesting actually to see like the,
what they do to get things to look really pretty. And especially like you've got to, you know, in a photo shoot, it's got to stay looking right for a long time. Mm-hmm. And obviously if you put like cereal and milk, it's going to start getting soggy looking and gross. If you put like, you know, anything on ice cream, it's going to start melting and looking gross.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, mashed potatoes.
There's a great Simpsons quote from the episode where Milhouse becomes Fallout Boy, and they ask him, "What do you?" They're like painting an animal. They're like, "What do you want? What are you doing?" We're gonna make him look like a cow. It's like, well, what if you know cows don't look like cows on camera? Well, what if you want an actual horse? Well, we tape a bunch of cats together. And I butchered that quote so badly.
When you say Milhouse becomes Fallout Boy, I'm just picturing him doing a cover of the Ghostbusters theme. I don't know why that's
you just triggered Hunter.
That just popped into my head.
Hunter and I actually had a long discussion today about why he didn't like Ghostbusters. Like he came into the store and we talked about it. And he made a lot of really good points, like stuff that I absolutely condone. Like I concede that you're right.
Well, and that's the thing.
But I still enjoyed it.
It's a taste thing.
It is.
It's, you know, there's a difference between like I enjoyed something. I didn't enjoy something. And then talking about the differences there and like how you perceive things versus, Well,
you're stupid for liking that.
Yeah. Oh, you like that? That's dumb. Anyone who likes this is dumb.
I feel like the only person that would be that way about Ghostbusters is the same guy that's ready for that Whopperito.
Yeah.
Me?
No. No, remember, you're not ready for the Whopperito.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Sweet, sweet baby. Calm down. Let's jump into the actual topic of the day. Right before...
And the thing that I'm so disappointed we couldn't have gotten on air, because I assumed you already knew.
I assume
Jesse already knew about the...
Dylan Diebold told me this today. Like, I didn't know about it until he told me, and I didn't believe him.
I saw an IGN video, like, either yesterday or the day before of it, and they're just like, oh, it comes with this, which
please,
is not the...
Please tell us what we're talking about.
So we're talking about the Battlefield 1 Collector's Edition. The Battlefield 1 Collector's Edition comes with, and I should have looked up the full list.
I got it right here, baby.
Oh, you got it?
Leave it to the Kimball.
It comes with, and tell me if I leave anything off. It comes with a soundtrack. It comes with a statue. It comes with a art book.
Okay. How about I just read it off instead of trying to look at a different order? See, the Collector's Edition comes with a statue 14 inches tall, exclusive steelbook, exclusive cloth poster, deck of playing cards, Messenger Pigeon 2 with exclusive DLC content, exclusive patch, and premium packaging. This bundle does not include the game.
How much is it?
$139
or $129.99.
Yeah.
And you get a pigeon tube. But not the game.
Like a carrier pigeon tube. And the thing that IGN did that I thought was kind of funny is because they're going down like, okay, you get a cloth poster, not the game. You get a steel bookcase that you could put the game in it if it came with one. You get the DLC to the game, but not the actual game.
Pack of cards, different game.
You get a pack of cards, which technically is a game, just not this game. that's actually
And this is,
good.
As far as I know, this is unprecedented. There has never been a collector's edition of a game that did not include the game.
And there is a version of it that comes with the game.
Yeah, something that I just noticed that might make all of this make a little more sense. This is apparently an Amazon exclusive. So it's distinctly possible that Amazon has done this outside of EA entirely.
How?
And the edition that comes with the game, the reason that it is exactly $60 more expensive is because they just send you the game with it. Amazon can, if they get permission, like they had that whole run of steelbook cases that were exclusive to them.
You just said they get permission. So EA had to go, that's a good idea.
EA had to say like, okay, you guys can do it, but EA isn't paying for any of it. EA is just letting Amazon make it and sell it.
But if I told you, Jesse Kimball, I'm going to shoot Ethan in the face, is that a good idea? And you go, yeah, go ahead and do that. And then I shoot him, you're an accomplice.
That's completely different. So, no, like,
it's not different. If EA gave their consent, then that means that they said, yes, go for it. It's not like Amazon made it without their, like, EA didn't wake up this morning and go, holy shit. What's going on?
What are they selling?
But that's the thing. Like, EA isn't making this collector's edition. So EA isn't putting the game with it. That's why the game doesn't come with it. Amazon can't just take EA's game and put it with it, except for, like, they can just sell you both separately.
Yeah, but are we assuming that somehow Amazon made a statue for the game?
Yes.
And also everything else?
Yes.
But wouldn't they have to get EA's permission to use their license?
They did.
So but EA why licensed
would,
it
But
then.
I don't know why EA would, why would EA just license them like, hey, you can make a bunch of merchandise for our thing. But then you...
I mean, I'm sure EA is getting a take of it, but yeah, it's an Amazon exclusive. Amazon has done this before with steelbook cases. Like, they personally, like, they manufacture them. They make them in their warehouses or whatever you want to call it. And then they sell it sometimes bundled with a game, you know, making their own product. Mm-hmm. I'm sure EA gets a cut of it.
They'd have to. I mean, EA. Yeah. There's no way EA didn't.
Like, yeah, EA didn't do it.
EA is getting paid.
But yeah, like, EA is not making it. So EA isn't selling them as one.
No, but that's unconfirmed.
It says it's an Amazon exclusive.
Yeah, but it's unconfirmed that EA had nothing to do with it. Amazon did it themselves. EA could have done it and just made it an Amazon exclusive.
I mean, that's a possibility, but if they did, then there wouldn't exist
even,
the separate
Even somewhere
bundle,
like GameStop would just be like, no.
Well,
we're not going to just sell them the collector's edition without a game.
I mean, who the hell is going to buy that? Like, what guy is out there going, yeah, I really want the statue and the DLC, but I'm not big on the game.
Yeah, but I don't actually want to play
that. I want that pigeon tube real bad.
It's almost like
I have a pigeon.
It's almost just like buying, you know, an extra accessory for the game.
Yeah, but that's a lot of money to spend on. I mean, I guess
absolutely.
If you're a diehard Battlefield fan, maybe. But why not just spring for the game? You know, I don't know.
I mean, like, it's for people that are obviously going to get the game already.
And I've seen some crazy things in
my
time.
It's just, it's one of those things, like, clearly they're going to get the game already, but for that collector's edition price.
Oh, no, it's way too expensive.
Everything
is
ridiculous. Like, I would almost say, like, even with the game in it, like, $130 is.
Yeah.
$130
is,
and
I know that's a pretty standard, I know,
for that stuff.
But every time it's also been standard, it has already come with the game.
It standardly ships with the game.
Yeah. $130, like, that amount of content is generally what you would get in a, like, you would get the game and all of that content for the $130. Except, well, didn't the Overwatch Collector's Edition cost almost $200?
It was $150.
Was it $150?
Okay. Steven got it, yeah. The most expensive one I can remember, other than, and I've got a
Call
crazy
of Duty
one to throw at you, of Halo 5, or Halo 4.
Halo 5 was $250. Yeah.
$250.
Did it come with, like, a functioning Master Chief helmet?
It came with Master Chief.
No, I mean, have you never seen the statue for this thing?
It's ridiculous.
I don't think I have.
It's high quality.
See, I've never been, like, I have never gotten into, like, collector's edition of stuff. Like, I've always thought it was cool, and I completely understand the appeal, but I've always been very... I've never had a whole lot of extra money to, like, just burn on something.
Yeah.
So, like, the one time, I can pinpoint, like, the one or two times I actually did, like, that Ninja Turtle board game.
Yeah.
That was supposed to ship.
Is that in yet?
No, it was supposed to ship last month, and they're like, yeah, we weren't happy with how the figures came out, so we're starting over.
Oh, my
God. So it's supposed to come in October now.
I don't usually get collector's editions. I pick and choose my battles. I did pre-order the NXT edition of WWE 2K17.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Intervention.
The most
that is a sexy statue, though.
It is.
How big is it?
Huge.
Yeah, it's real big.
Like, it's actually, like, it's
like
a...
the box that it comes in.
Oh, my God. It's
about,
like, a crate.
Like, yay tall.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally that tall, the box.
We were,
it's like one of those, like, Stormtrooper action figures that are, like, my size figures.
I mean, I think, like, legitimately, it's something like an 18-inch, like, diorama size statue or something.
Weren't we
like
at
that. It's
Best
huge.
Buy when I tried to talk Megan Burke Bigler into buying one?
Yes.
Yeah. Because she came here first and asked about it.
Yep.
I don't buy collector's editions either. I have the Hulk Hogan edition
mm-hmm.
a couple years ago because Lonnie bought it for me.
Mm-hmm.
No, God bless him. I'm getting the NXT edition this year. The one I've been most disappointed with is the Fallout 4 collector's edition. With the Pip-Boy, because I sprung for it and I was so excited. I love Fallout 4. I love Fallout. I got that Pip-Boy. I was going to put my phone in. I was going to wear it while I play. I was going to be the most stereotypical. This is who they made it for, was me. And then it wouldn't fit on my goddamn arm because I'm too beefy.
Now, see, that's one of those things, though. You and I had talked about that before. We knew that wasn't going to work.
I was hoping that because it was for gamers, maybe they they made it extra big. But no, Allie put it on. She made a cute picture with it.
It's rated M. It's for adults.
It's rated M from Massive.
Yeah, it fit Mandy's arm just fine.
It did. So Allie and Mandy were both.
Steven.
Yeah. Steven has a very dainty wrist.
Calvin. He does.
Also,
it probably
dainty wrist.
Fit me. Yeah.
It would fit you.
Yeah.
You have average size. See, it's made for average size people. Jesse and I aren't average size.
No, and me and Shannon were talking about that before it ever came out. I was like, you know it's not going
to
fit.
I wanted to believe.
You know it's not.
I wanted to believe, and now I have learned why I stopped believing. Because the worst fears you have are generally right.
If you pause, you can see the exact moment his heart breaks.
But the last, I think, three collector's editions that I bought that I've actually been pretty happy with have been the both of the Destinies, Taken King and Regular. Got collector's editions of each of those, and I got the last collector's edition I got before that was the BioShock Infinite Songbird edition.
I remember that one. That was pretty sweet.
Oh,
Songbird
man.
Was sweet.
I did almost
oh,
get,
Songbird is sweet.
I almost got the Mortal Kombat X one, but because I knew I was going to love that game because of how great Mortal Kombat, well, it was just Mortal Kombat, but it was Mortal Kombat 9 technically, like how great that game was on PS3 and how much I loved it. And I was like, you know, this, even with the weird three, battle type systems, like I'm gonna be into it, I still will go back and pop it in every once in a while, but it's I go back and they still had an edition at Hastings for a while, and I've always just kind of been like,
they still have one at Best Buy.
Yeah, but I just
it's still like $80 there though.
The Street Fighter special edition went down to $60.
Oh wow! At this point, you have everything from that collector's edition except for the bookends.
Yeah, and that's
because I've given them to you.
Oh yeah.
Because I have the bookends.
Are you talking about 9 or 10? Because 10 didn't have bookends. Well, it had those weird figure, that weird art figure.
Oh, that's right. No, I'm
yeah,
9
had the bookends.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, you have everything from the 9 collector's edition.
Right.
My bad.
You know who would do a great collector's edition of games?
No.
Nintendo. And this isn't an awkward segue.
No, you're right. That, I kind of actually like the way that they have started, as much as I dislike Amiibos just as a concept, like the Mario Maker bundle with the classic.
Yeah,
the 8-bit Mario. Well, the new Star Fox game, which I'm still always tempted to get. But the one that came with the R-Wing and the tower defense game too.
There was a, Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a Legend of Zelda collector's edition. I forget which game it was, but it never came out in America. But it was a treasure chest. And you would open it up and it would go, it would make the noise. And it's like, why would you not release that in America?
That's the one that you, when you said treasure chest, Borderlands 2. I wanted the Borderlands 2 collector's edition so bad. But this was when I knew I was going to move to Virginia. So when I tried to pre-order it here in Cape, I was like, is there a way I can pre-order it here, but then have it actually go to a GameStop closer out where I'm going to live? And they said, no, there was no way to do that. So as soon as I got out there, I started hitting every single GameStop because it had come out by then, just to see, like, is there any chance you have an extra one? There was one guy who's like, well, how much are you willing to pay for it? I said, retail price? I can't help you. It's like, so you were going to sell me someone's, like
someone's pre-order.
That's shady.
I mean, it's GameStop. I don't think GameStop ever specifically told us to charge extra and pocket there. GameStop's a son of a bitch, but that's just a douche.
But the reason I wanted it so bad is because it came with that epic loot chest.
Yes.
Which, come to find out, because when I told you that story the first time, Jesse, you had a little, like, there was a twitch in your eye, and I was like, what? And you said...
Well, okay, there are two stories about it. Mm-hmm. First, like, I also wanted this collector's edition.
Because I loved the first game. Borderlands is to this day is one of my favorite franchises.
Yeah, mine too. And I was so stoked for the second game. It had a steelbook case in it and all this other stuff. I wanted it real bad. And the day I was going to pre-order it, we stopped taking pre-orders on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I was waiting for payday. Because you had to put, like, the way GameStop worked, collector's edition like that, you had to put at least $50 down. I didn't have it. So, I didn't get one. Then when they all came in, this is a Big Johnny story, actually.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know which one of these stories is the one you're wanting me to tell. But...
I just remember the quality of the chest itself.
Oh, that. I'll get to that in a second, because it's semi-related. So basically, John was back there organizing the back room, because we had a bunch of collector's editions and all this other stuff in at that time. And I hear a crash. And, I don't hear him yelling, and I'm with a customer. So, I don't go back there immediately. I go back there later. I ask him, like, hey, has something happened? Like, everything all right? And he's like, no, nothing happened. Nothing happened. I'm looking at this Borderlands, though. They sent it to me broken. Did they now? I'm guessing dropped the boxes or something. And, it ended up the loot chest itself was subpar in quality, to say the least. Like, I think the lid of his, had pretty much, like, shattered through, and then it had dented the crap out of the steelbook inside. So he was trying frantically to get a replacement sent to him, and he was going to try and see, like, if he could, cancel someone's pre-order or not pick that one up. He was trying everything he could to make that not his, and I knew he had done it, but I didn't press him on it. I just said, like, you know what you have to do as the store manager. I mean, that's got to be yours if you can't get it replaced. Take that hit.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you're right, Jesse.
Uh-oh.
John doesn't listen to this show anymore.
No, just that voice. Every time I hear it, it just torments me. You make him sound more and more like Eric Carey every time.
I think it's more and more accurate every time I do it.
Because I feel like the way they pictured it, too, was a little bit misleading.
It was tiny.
If I remember right, because it looked like it was of a good size. And the way those loot chests in the game work is the top opens up, and then there's these other two little platelets that open up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture almost looked like it might have those in there, too. And in reality, it was just this tiny little, almost like a glasses case.
It was a little bigger than that, because it held the game case.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, like, you could, like, but it wasn't, it was maybe, like... I don't know, 6 inches by 4 inches by 5 inches or something like that. Like, yes. It was little.
Yeah, it was really little. And then it was only just the flip open, just the top. So in the end, I was okay with not getting it, but.
I really wanted that Steelbook case.
Most special editions are awful, just in general. Like, they're not worth the money.
Yeah, it's always the...
Because you get an art book, which is fine. I mean, art books are cool.
Mm-hmm. The Overwatch one was really cool. I looked through that and the
postcards. I don't like
the
statues, though. And I'm a guy that collects things, but only if it's stuff that I really love.
Yeah.
Like, I have a... You've seen my apartment. I have a huge Godzilla section. I have Ghostbusters everywhere. But I don't want the Soldier 76 from Overwatch. I'm just not into it that much. But if Nintendo did it, let's say they came out with Mario Galaxy 3 for some reason, and it had this nice statue of like Mario in grabbing a star or something, I'd buy that because I'm a Nintendo fanboy. And that it's like they have a license to print money, and they're not doing it. When was the last time you saw a Nintendo Collector's Edition for a game?
Majora's Mask on the 3DS.
And what was it?
You got a statue.
Oh, did you get Skull Kid?
Yeah, you got a Skull Kid statue.
Now that's pretty cool.
Because I have that one.
Name another one.
Another one.
Like, I'm trying to think of a Mario Brothers Collector's Edition, and I can't think of a single one.
I don't think Skyward Sword had a Collector's Edition, Ethan.
Oh, they had the special edition with the
you got the soundtrack,
And stuff. Yeah. But I'm talking about full on. Yeah. Like, imagine if they put out like Zelda or Link statue, and a Samus statue,
and at this
something
point,
like that.
Even with like the NES Mini, like if there was like a Collector's Edition of that. Like, it's the same thing.
It was like
but
the Famicom
with,
colors or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, make it the Famicom
really cool.
colors. Or include a statue of Mario with it.
Right.
Because Mario was, or maybe a little statue with like different characters together. Like Mario and
like
and
a Mario
Samus.
Party cast or something like that. Or Smash, like, Smash Brothers is a perfect way to do some sort of collector's thing where you have just like, even just the original, eight characters from this N64 game?
Ten.
Like, just have, like, a small little statue, like, not nearly as big as the Halo one it looked like, but just a decent size little of those 10 characters.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they did with the Amiibos, technically.
Yeah, but
it's
not
boy,
the same.
A lot of money.
That's not the same. Like, imagine the next Smash Brothers comes out, and this is way beyond what they'll do, but imagine they had a statue in it that had every single character together in a line.
And that would almost be excessive, like, because then you get just, like, a giant thing. But like I said, like, just the 10 original
ones. Make it like a circle and put them all in the circle together to, like, looking up or something. And the money that they can make off of that, even if they only printed a 500, you could charge $200 for that and people would buy it.
Oh, yeah.
It would sell out.
You could charge more than that. Like, look at the Borderlands, the pre-sequel Collector's Edition. Or was it the Handsome Jack Collector's Edition?
Was the one
the
with
one
the,
that came with an actual
Claptrap? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And a Steelbook case?
I also kind of, I debated about getting that one,
That was
too.
Legitimately cool.
They had it at GameStop for a little while at retail, like months after release. I almost bought it. I sent it to Steven because I thought he was going to. He didn't, sadly. But either way, I mean, that thing retailed for $300 and sold out immediately and was going online for upwards of $700.
And that's not even playing on people's nostalgia. That's just playing on the fact that this is a good game and this is a cool thing. But if you're a Nintendo fan and they're playing on that nostalgia bone, you're going to buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that leads us into the topic of why Nintendo is
45 minutes into the show.
36.
Okay.
36.
It's not that bad.
36.
I don't get it.
Anyway.
I think he's doing Roberto.
What's the matter, Redhead? You scared?
Stand back. I gotta practice my stabbing.
Anyway.
You little man with a sock ain't so hard.
don't to the wall, mommy. Anyway, no, that's not the topic.
It is now. Your favorite Roberto moment.
I legitimately want to know what you guys think of why Nintendo was so awful. And just awful and everything. I love Nintendo. I would go out and say Nintendo, like, if you rank my loves in life, everyone knows I love Ghostbusters. Everyone knows I love wrestling. Nintendo is there. Like, I don't even like video games, but I love Nintendo.
Right.
And
I mean, you like video games a little bit.
I like video games. I don't love them. Like, I like to play video games, but I don't have a passion for them. Like, if someone said, hey, I'm going to steal your PS4, I go, well, that sucks, but here you go. But if you try
but
to take...
But what will you watch your movies on?
I have a Blu-ray player.
Well,
he does. He bought one because he was like, well, I don't need a PS3. I've got a Blu-ray player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if they try to take my Mario figures, I'd be sad because I love my Mario figures. But, you know, Nintendo have made it very clear that they don't love me. Over and over again, they take down the archive thing, which it's whatever. I have a bunch of Nintendo powers, but not everyone does.
And really, that's the archive thing is just...
baffling.
Yeah.
Like, here's the other thing that happened. There's a fan-made game. It's called AMR2 or ARM2 or something like that.
Oh, the Metroid 2 remake.
Yeah.
No, I get why they took that down. Because that is... But it's free. They're giving you a game for free, saying, this took years to make. This is a labor of love. we made this. We want you to play it. Mm-hmm. We're not charging for it. And Nintendo almost immediately said, no, and take it down.
And it's one of those things where it's like, these are fans who did more for the 30th anniversary?
Yeah, than Nintendo did.
Than Nintendo did.
Yeah, Nintendo almost, like, for whatever reason, they have decided to pretend Metroid is bad. Like, Metroid Other M didn't make them, like, millions of dollars.
I'm assuming the reason that they... I think that must have started before Metroid Other M, because Metroid Other M was pretty bad.
It was, but I mean, at least then, like, you know, we had just gotten Metroid Prime 3. Metroid Other M wasn't that long after Metroid Prime 3. And once we got that one, like, that was the last Metroid game we got, because it was garbage, and it sold like it.
And Nintendo has a just history of taking franchises that made money... or people are into and not doing anything with them. Matt, how long did it take for them to put a new Star Fox game out? They skipped
Assault.
The Wii completely. Yeah. It went from GameCube to Wii U.
Yeah, we had Star Fox Assault on the GameCube before the Wii ever came out. And
Metroid.
Did they really not make a... I thought they made one of those because Star Fox was another one where they
there was a DS game.
They made a DS game
but it was
for
just
it.
The 64 game.
And then they made it, then they redid for the 3DS.
Because like the Wii, they did I thought they did one of those. Because Star Fox is another franchise where they decided to reinvent the wheel on it. Like, hey, you loved Pilot in the Ship in N64. How about we remove the ship? And we're going to make it an action platformer
Star
RPG.
Fox Adventure?
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda Star Fox?
Yeah, just the worst of both.
Also, Ethan told me there was a Star Fox game on DS specifically for the DS.
Yeah.
Not 64. There was a different one.
Yeah, it was for the regular DS.
Yeah.
Star Fox 64 was actually a remake on the 3DS.
The 3DS, that's right, that's right. But they skipped GameCube, or...
Wii.
They skipped Wii completely.
Nothing on the Wii at all.
I ignored the two that came out on GameCube because I was so disappointed it wasn't a Star Fox game.
Star Fox Assault was a lot more like the original ones.
Was it? I guess I just read that it was... I mean, they might have had that impression that it was too much on the ground. Like
there was like moments on the ground, but you spent most of the time in the air. Because I actually like Star Fox Assault a lot. Well, let's retrace. I'm a huge Star Fox fan. And I was a huge Star Fox fan back then. Mm-hmm. Star Fox 64 was the game that if I had a day with nothing to do, that was the game I popped in and beat real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, Star Fox Adventure came out, and you know, we already touched on that. And then Star Fox Assault, they promised me more like flight and stuff like that, so I got really excited for it. And there was a lot more flight. It was significantly better than Adventure in that regard, but the story was kind of meh.
Yeah,
the game wasn't as good. I mean, at least they made it though.
Also, yeah, that.
But at least they made it. Like Star Fox Zero is not that good from what I've seen, but at least they made it. They skipped the N64 when it came to Metroid. There was no Metroid game on 64.
Yeah.
Earthbound. Everyone's into Earthbound since Smash Brothers. Never done anything with it.
Well, I mean, they put it on the virtual console at least.
For $10.
Yeah.
We still sell it for Super Nintendo for like almost
$190.
Yeah,
something like that.
So there's so many things that they could do, and Ethan's tapping me on the shoulder. What do you want? What is Earthbound Beginnings? Here, come speak into the mic.
I was going to say, no one's going to hear this.
Yeah, come over here. Speak into the mic.
Earthbound Beginnings is also available on the Wii U. It was originally Mother 1 in Japan. We were going to get Earthbound on NES, but they canned it right before, so it became Earthbound Zero many years later, re-released on the Virtual Console for Wii U.
But they haven't made any new ones.
But they haven't done anything new with it or anything meaningful. Because it's just, they're not the only ones. You can't talk off mic. No one can hear you. You're just interrupting.
They're not the only ones, because Mega Man, they haven't done anything with. Since,
other than re-releasing
it over and over again.
Capcom is just so petty in the...
Because there have been like three projects that have been canceled for Mega Man
for
that actually sounded pretty good.
And so was Nintendo. Nintendo was extremely petty. That's the only reason I can see them taking down the Nintendo Power Stone.
Well, and the difference is Capcom is petty. Capcom is just mad at the guy who created Mega Man because he left the company. And like, well, fine, we were wildly successful with this thing you gave us, but we still have that thing, but we're just going to sit on it. You can't do anything with it.
Then came Mighty No. 9.
Whereas Nintendo, I'm pretty sure the people who made those games are still with Nintendo.
Miyamoto is definitely with Nintendo still.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, hey, we've got all these franchises.
Hey,
maybe do something with them.
Why would you want to make some more games for the franchise everyone loves when you can build a new franchise like Wii Music?
All of those little, like,
you remember that at E3?
They did that. Oh, it was bad. They did that specifically to show off the gimmick. Like, guys, we have a gimmick. Check out this gimmick. This game uses this gimmick.
And that's exactly what it is. They're more concerned with gimmicks and coming up with new technology no one wants.
And forcing the gimmicks on people.
And then there's the people that still love the nostalgia of it and want to relive the glory days of Nintendo, because the glory days are far beyond, far past them now.
Yes.
And those people get shut down over and over. There was a compendium. Did I say that word right?
Compendium.
Compendium.
There you go.
What'd I say?
Compendium.
Jesus Christ.
It sounded like you emerged the word with compliment.
I did, because it was a, because it was a compliment to Nintendo's legacy.
Nice save.
Thank you. Nintendo shut it down. There was a Kickstarter for it. They were doing a, like a visual history of Nintendo. Nintendo shut it down. I could see why, because, you know, you don't want anyone else making money off your product. I get that. But at the same time, if you're not doing anything with it, why not?
I mean, make a deal. Like,
make
don't
a deal,
just,
yes.
Yeah, don't just can it. Like, there was a, going back to like the Metroid 2 remake. Do you remember the Zelda remake that someone put up?
The one with the Unreal Engine?
Yeah, it was I think it was the Unreal Engine, and it was the entire first Zelda game redone and looking really pretty in 3D. It was basically a school project that the guy just released online for like an anniversary.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. It lasted 48 hours before Nintendo saw it and took it down. And like everything that has infringed on any of their properties, they just immediately have shut down.
And that's not even talking about the YouTube stuff.
See, like, I was gonna get to that.
Yeah, infringing on their property.
Cause the, like we talked about on Nerd Up, that Pokemon Uranium.
Yeah.
That just got, it's like, why would you actively advertise this? Like,
you're gonna get the cease and desist any day.
I have to assume, like, I actually meant to look it up and see if they had been shut down yet. Cause it's like, I understand that you can't make money on someone else's intellectual property. I'm fine with that. I understand that. But for them to just to take these free, like the Nintendo Archive thing, no one is making any money on that.
No, if nothing else, it's generating interest in Nintendo.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, it doesn't cost them anything. They've already made the magazine.
Yeah.
And if
which,
it
again,
was,
is impossible
if
fun.
If it was any other company, they might look at that and be like, oh, hey, people care about this thing. Maybe we can do something that will make us money with it.
And it's one of those things, like, too, if they were still selling the magazine,
mm-hmm.
like even if like they're not making money on it, like the people that are posting the archive,
mm-hmm.
even if they're not making money on it, if they're like preventing Nintendo from making money, that's
right. Like if you could still go to Nintendo's website and order back issues.
Yeah. Anything, mm-hmm. anything that Nintendo could do with it, but they can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like you cannot buy these from Nintendo. Like I also understand like the Zelda remake. You can go to Virtual Console and you can buy it there.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense, like, even though there was no money made on it, it was it was providing something for free that they actively charge for.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there was a guy that did a really sweet looking, remake of Ultima 4, which is arguably the best Ultima. You know, I'm a big Ultima fan. It's arguably the best Ultima. He did a fan remake of it and no money, didn't ask for anything, put it up for download, and EA shut him down
mm-hmm.
for the same reasons. Because you can still buy Ultima 4 through like a couple different sites.
Origin, all that other stuff.
GOG.com, a couple places. But with the Nintendo Power, like you said, there is absolutely no way to make money off of this for Nintendo. The only way they can make money off of, or the only way that you can buy it is from a secondhand seller. So you have to go to stores and buy them. And Nintendo doesn't see a dollar of profit from that.
No.
Right. It's just like the Amiibos. Remember we mm-hmm. were complaining about Amiibos. Why is there such a limited run of Amiibos? You know who's making money, Nintendo? The scalper who's selling them for $80 online. You don't see a dime from that other than the initial purchase of $12, $13.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense why Nintendo can't seem to get a grasp on what is happening. And that's why they're third place.
They literally don't.
In a three-person race. By the way, that's the important thing to know.
Yeah, yeah, it's not bronze at the Olympics.
No.
You're losing.
Yeah, it's one of those things that Nintendo, my biggest problem with Nintendo, we'll go all the way back to the question you wanted to ask in the first place. My biggest problem with Nintendo is that they don't listen. They don't pay attention.
You know, they do. They just deny it. Like everyone.
Because
the guy who's delete, the guy who created Pokemon Snap, and everyone's like, hey, you got this stupid controller that would actually be perfect for this one thing. Can we have it? Nah. It's like they didn't just ignore it. They just flat out.
No.
And I mean, like, well, they did give explanation on that.
But it was a stupid explanation.
It was. But it's one of those, like, they're thinking about it incorrectly. But, my biggest example of this when it comes to, like, not paying attention and not listening, whenever people asked for just a super basic feature that has been a part of Xbox Live since the original Xbox. The original Xbox. People asked for something that has been in that service since then. And they're like, well, no, why would we do that? Like, because it's really convenient, and, you know, the Xbox has done it since the early 2000s.
Clearly it's possible.
Or, yeah. And then, well, no, their reply was, well, I'm not familiar with that, so I don't like
this,
that.
This internet thing is a phase. Or it's just a fad.
DVD players. Remember, both Xbox and Sony have had DVD players since the Xbox/PS2 era. And they asked Nintendo, why don't you have a DVD player in the Wii or the GameCube or anything like that? And Nintendo was like, well, we assume everybody already has a DVD player.
On top of
thanks,
that,
Nintendo.
That actually isn't necessarily the real reason, but it is awful political. The real reason is that, like, PlayStation and Sony, same thing with Blu-ray and DVD, have to pay for the rights to put the software in there that will actually read the discs. Like, they have to pay for it in order to put it on the console, so that saves them, you know, $10 a system.
Right. And Microsoft,
or however much.
Microsoft decided that they would go into business for themselves and make their own high definition.
I remember that, because I remember thinking
it didn't
like,
go well.
I distinctly remember, because I was still teenager when the HD DVD versus Blu-ray rumblings like first even started.
It was as big as Sega versus Nintendo.
It
buddy.
Was. It, that's what
yeah,
it felt
it just,
like.
It was a flash in the pan, but it was huge.
It felt like this is like okay, cassettes are CDs, man. Like, is this?
Except like
I feel that is a much less.
It's
difficult fight to decide on.
Well, yeah. I mean,
because I know I like to have to fast forward constantly.
It's a bad example. I know it's a bad example, but it really felt like, okay, you're going to have to choose. Like,
yeah.
This is it. Like, yeah. There are these two choices, and if you get behind the wrong one, then you're SOL.
Which a lot of people did.
I mean, yeah. It was very split at the beginning. Like, even big, like, movie studios were sticking with HD DVD.
I do remember, like, reading, like, every once in a while, like, oh, Universal signed with Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Where MGM signed with HD DVD, and
then,
I want to say a lot of almost them, every single one of those movies now for like a penny.
Yep. Yeah, because a lot of them there for a little while were doing both, mm-hmm. And I think it was Paramount. I want to say I don't remember if it was Paramount or Universal that just said like, all right, we're going exclusively with Blu-ray, and that was the that was the decider, and it wasn't even like it wasn't consumers because the consumers were completely split.
Yeah.
I mean, technically HD DVD was much cheaper, so people were probably going to go with that. But yeah, when the movie studios decided like, Blu-ray, one big one went, and that was just everybody followed suit.
Well,
they
and
tipped.
I also kind of assumed that it was, you know, it wasn't necessarily the first big one because clearly Sony Pictures was only doing Blu-ray to support their format. So that kind of gave them that.
Spider-Man 3 was a big one.
Yeah. Cause that kind of gave them that initial leg up, because I don't think Microsoft really had
Microsoft doesn't have a film studio.
They didn't have a film studio
and
to immediately.
Christ, thank God.
Well, it wasn't like, my first big one, that was the first big one that was doing both.
Yeah.
To
that
say
eventually
like,
just like
Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like HD DVD had some. Man, it's been a long time since I've looked this stuff up.
I think Bob has the entire collection of HD DVD.
Like, HD DVD actually did have a couple of huge studios behind as well. It's just, once everybody...
That was the only way to get the first season of Heroes on HD. I don't know if that's changed now, but...
It has.
I was going to say, I would imagine you could almost get the entire series.
It was a terrible idea, though. That's one of the... That is truly, I think, one of the great marketing blunders of
and
video
honestly,
gaming.
Like, I don't think... I'm pretty sure... Yeah, it wasn't Microsoft that originally did it. It was Toshiba, but Microsoft jumped behind it because Sony was the major funder for Blu-ray,
mm-hmm.
And Sony had rights to Blu-ray.
Right.
So Microsoft was like, well, we're not going to be able to get that. Let's go ahead and put our chips behind HD DVD with Toshiba. And,
Xbox One have in it?
HD DVD lost. Everybody's recognized this point.
And that's one of those things too. It's like, you know, we always talk about like how great would it be to have just a console that could play everything. But then
you get
into the monopoly argument, and that would ultimately be bad for the consumer. But at the same time, that's why I'm actually really excited to start getting into PC gaming, because now I can, you know, even though I'm starting with like Jesse's old computer, like I'm still going to be able to play stuff, current stuff on mid-low settings, but then also I can, if I decide, I want to add in a Blu-ray player, or I want to do other stuff with it, you know, that's up to me.
Licensing and corporate greed are the worst things to happen to everything. The reason movies aren't as good as they could be is because of marketing.
Like we talked about on Sunday, the Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Just they can't keep their hands out of the director. They can't keep their influence off of it, and it ultimately makes for a worse product.
Go all the way back to Plan 9 from Outer Space from Ed Wood. Not saying he's a great director, but... The people that financed the movie had so much say-so over it of put this in here, put this in here. We want this in here. Put this guy in there. And it really diminishes the product when you have so many hands pulling you in different ways and you can't just do something to do it. Like, I like to believe, I'm kind of bringing this back full circle. Mm-hmm. I like to believe that if Nintendo wasn't bound by so much corporate red tape, that they would let fan projects go off. They would let this archive go on, because what's the harm?
And, like,
you have to believe that someone's saying Miyamoto, don't do it.
There is a middle ground between letting someone make money off of your intellectual property and just flat out shutting down every fan-made thing.
Which is just a labor of love for the thing that you are trying to get more people to get into.
And you know who does it awesomely? Bethesda and Valve. For whatever you want to say, like, and well, I say whatever you want to say, what I want to say.
You say
about
it.
Bethesda being on the
garbage.
Lazier, not garbage, but on the lazier side of what is acceptable. They will, you know, they've hired modders. Like, they've gone from, like, taking people from the community and actually given them jobs because of the fan work that they put into their products. Same with Valve. Like, they, what was it, Dota?
Yeah.
That was a...
Warcraft 3... ripoff.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't. It was actually started out as like a, it started out as a use map settings, like a custom game for Warcraft 3.
Right.
And yeah, then they like ended up making a mod based off of the game, and then they just made a separate game eventually.
Right.
And like, and even Blizzard, like, you know, they, that StarCraft MMO.
Which I checked out, by the way.
Oh, how was that?
Eh.
No, but it's allowed to happen.
It was neat. Yeah.
Blizzard
basically
shut it down.
No, Blizzard, Blizzard actually like officially said, no, it's cool. Go ahead, guys.
You can't charge for it, clearly, but as long as you're not making...
You do have to have StarCraft, at least the base version of StarCraft, to play it.
Oh, see, and even that is...
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to get in the StarCraft, like, Play Arcade, because I didn't realize that either until I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I do have the original StarCraft.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was able to download that, which was super short download, because it mostly just uses stuff that's already in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you just jump in, and it's just this super-duper custom game built on the StarCraft engine.
As opposed to Nintendo, who would just shut it down.
Who would just be like, oh, you want to do this cool thing? Bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
And we briefly mentioned the way they do YouTube. Like, the reason.
They have to sign contracts with Nintendo, don't they? Like, they literally have to sign and say, like, we're with Nintendo.
I don't think they, I mean,
Nintendo
I think
gets a cut of the ad revenue first. Like, they have to sign a contract with Nintendo.
I think they get all of the ad revenue.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because anyone
think
that posts anything that's Nintendo related that hasn't signed with Nintendo, it's shut down immediately. How many YouTubers?
Well,
I think the reason that a lot of games on YouTube now don't have sound is because of Nintendo.
Yeah. Well, no, all of the Nintendo ones, like anything
that has.
Yeah,
the Nintendo ones you can't use that was a big thing, because I know on the Game Grumps doing the Pokemon playthrough, like the volume is way down, which is, to me, that's fine.
Just because hear people talk.
Because, yeah, see, that's the reason I watch them. Like, and, you know, kind of going back to the show we did a few weeks ago about Let's Players, like, to me, the appeal isn't watching someone play a game. I don't just watch for the gameplay stuff. Like, Calvin, the last couple of days, has done nothing but watch
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky streams.
And not just...
And that's just because he's excited for that game.
Right.
It's a game he physically cannot play right now, because it's not released on PC yet.
Master Race.
Hashtag Master Race.
PS4's got it. So like he there's no way for him to play that game right now. So he's watching someone else play it. I completely understand that. I watch Let's Plays because I genuinely think Aaron and Danny are funny together. Like the ones that I watch for the and Xavier Woods, like the up up down down. I don't watch him play Overwatch because I like watching Overwatch. I like hearing his commentary and watching him play.
Right.
So I go for the personality over the, so that's, that's not a big deal, but to not be able to use, like, if someone wants to play Donkey Kong Country, you're going to deprive the people of listening to that sweet, sweet underwater theme.
The best underwater music in games.
Ever.
Oh.
What? Come at me. I knew where you were going.
I don't even know what that is.
No.
Mario Brothers. How do you not know Mario Brothers underwater theme?
Oh, because it's not as good as Donkey Kong Country.
Sing it.
I can't. It's
I can't
that complex.
Because it is a soundscape.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful,
it's because they can't remember it.
It's a beautiful soundscape.
Jesse, I swear to God, if you Louis Benson that and play it on
I'm about to Louis Benson it.
No, it's not, no, please don't, because we'll get this episode taken down.
Fine.
That's true.
Nintendo will take this episode down.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
This month's Patreon is going to be like, we're going to have to write a check.
Adam's going to think,
no. No, the Patreon does not have that much money in it.
No, we can't.
That's going to take a while.
You know what Nintendo reminds me of right now from this conversation that I haven't had much to say about?
I forgot you were here.
You know, whenever someone gets, like, into a part of power in a corporation, and so they start changing things. And whenever someone's like, you know, but this was working great, everyone loved this, they're like, no, this is better, we're gonna stick with this, we're not gonna talk about that anymore. Because they want to show
power.
They gotta
make their imprint.
They want to be like,
New
no.
Coke.
Crystal Pepsi.
It's coming back.
Some reason. Allie, sorry.
I'm the new person. I have all these better ideas. We're not going to talk about what was okay.
I was the old and it was the new.
Gonna.
And that's
keep,
not.
It always goes downhill.
Let's make Nintendo great again.
it's not a bad idea to go, yeah, we don't want to talk about it. Because it's like wrestling. Yeah. Every time that WWE reminds you of how good the Attitude Era was, they're basically saying, it's not good now, but remember how good it was?
Mm-hmm.
And I can see you not wanting to do that. Like, I get Nintendo. Maybe they don't want Nintendo Power up. Because they don't want you to see how Nintendo used to be number one.
Remember how much you loved Metroid?
Yeah. Because instead
that probably makes you want a new Metroid game, huh?
But instead of that, they want you to play Chibi Robo, you know, Tokyo Drift or whatever it's called.
No, play Animal Crossing Amiibo Party that you have to have just buy Amiibos
we
now.
Do.
And trading cards.
And
we have a bunch. to be fair.
No, I mean, like, they're making their money.
They are.
Somehow.
Sort of.
Well, that's the thing with Nintendo is, like, they make money despite themselves.
Well,
they're
not
like
right
the
now.
Vince McMahon of it's gaming.
Well, yeah, it's only because they haven't ruined Pokemon yet.
Or their handheld market. The handheld market is strong for Nintendo.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's becoming...
Oh, gotcha.
They haven't ruined Pokemon yet.
And the Amiibos. Amiibos are selling like hotcakes. They're still hot. I mean,
think,
the Smash Brothers ones are.
Do you think
it was not near as bad as it were.
Do you think that was almost like a calculated thing? Like, they would rather them... Because, like we were talking about earlier today, Wonder Woman and Batman v Superman. Do you think that they made a conscious choice of making them in high demand so people don't realize that, oh, no, they're just flooding this garbage with physical DLC?
I think they made it...
Flooding the market with these...
I think they made it, honestly, because they did want to drive up interest in Nintendo, and they wanted people to talk about it. Like with the Wiis, when Wii came out, and you couldn't find it. And people,
that's the only reason it sold well.
Yeah,
like the thing was, it was a hunk of trash. Let's be honest here.
It's one of those things that if you tell people this is important, they'll believe it, and then they'll think it's important, and they'll go after it. But the problem is that I don't think they counted on so many people reselling them online for a higher price. Yeah. I don't think at first they thought that was going to happen because I think they live in a bubble where they assume people would buy it and they would use it. They didn't know that people would buy it and then just resell it for four times the price online.
Yeah.
And then once that happened, you started to see more and more waves were much less difficult to get a hold of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there still Amiibos that are like...
I can't find Roy.
I mean, yeah, there are some that are like really hard to find in America. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you can find them on Amazon. Like the last time I looked, the most expensive Amiibo I saw was like $25.
Yeah, it's not nearly as bad as it used to be. Remember how Little Mac used to go?
Oh, yeah. Little Mac was like a $70 figure.
Fans,
wow.
Go back and listen. A year ago, I think, we had an episode where we talked about Nintendo and Amiibos. And we were outraged. And you were there.
Yeah.
And you two weren't. He might have been. Or was Nate there?
Nate Smith was one of the people, like, he bought into the scalpers. Like, kid paid $70 for his, villager.
Yeah.
He paid, you know, $60 for his little Mac.
Didn't he order one from China?
Yeah. Several. Those are both from China or Japan.
And that's the bad thing that's the most frustrating part about Nintendo is, like, every time they could do something good and get goodwill and maybe build up some interest and some good rapport with their fans, they mm-hmm. don't. They just live in their bubble and go, whatever happens, happens.
Imagine the conversation we'd be having if Nintendo shut down the Nintendo Power archives, but instead just moved it to their actual website.
Or offered
it. Just like, hey, thanks for uploading this. We're actually just going to take this data and add it onto our website.
Or make it a digital service. $10 a month. Read all the Nintendo Power you want. Something. Let people have what they want.
I wouldn't have liked
that.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I don't know if anyone would have actually...
No one would have paid
for
that.
Maybe it's like a one-time...
So they could download it themselves and then just
make digital issues available. Maybe even just make digital issues available.
For purchase individually. Yeah. Like $1 a piece. Something like that. There are so many avenues Nintendo could go to make money and make people like them more, and they don't. Instead, they live in their little mushroom kingdom, surrounded by a giant moat that used to be filled with money and champagne. Now it's just filled with dead
money.
Nintendo employees.
Now it's just filled with money. They have to cut back on the champagne.
Yeah.
Until Pokemon Sun and Moon comes out and makes them another gajillion dollars.
I feel
they
like,
can think that, oh no, look, we're making money. Hey, let's include a treadmill in our next system.
They already did that.
They tried to include a heart monitor once.
Wasn't that with the Wii Fit board?
No, it was, I don't remember what it was for. There was a little heart monitor you clipped to your finger that actually tied into the game. And they, thank God.
Yeah, no, that was the thing. That was in, one of the fitness games for the Wii.
They didn't actually put it out, did they?
I thought they did.
Oh, Cody, let me know. I feel like every time Nintendo, at the end of the year, Nintendo's Miyamoto's always in the window about to jump. And then someone says, wait, no. The new regular Nintendo game we put out did really well. We're good for another 6 months. He climbs back in.
I don't know.
Like, puts on his Mario mushroom hat again.
And maybe I just don't have a good understanding of the actual management of Nintendo. But I feel like it's more like if Miyamoto is about to jump, the way they get them down is by saying, okay, we can use a touchscreen and detachable controllers. Well, just don't do it.
Fine. Okay, fine. We've mastered the mind link function. On the next system, you can think about the game.
Oh, do you remember
the Sega?
No, it was like a board game that you had to wear this like weird helmet thing that would read your brain waves, and then you could move the ball through a maze with your mind.
That, yeah. Did Nintendo make that?
No, but you know, it reminded
you. Do you remember this?
You saying that reminded
me. No, I do remember that.
Because I always thought it was the coolest looking thing, and I don't remember how it worked, but no, there was this.
A real thing.
There was a base, and it had these different little obstacles, and I think it was a fan or something, and the way you focused, it would make the air blow harder.
It read your twitches, I think is what it is.
I don't know if I'm actually remembering something right now, or I'm just that, like, creative that I'm just, that I'm just seeing what you're saying.
She browned out that day.
I'm gonna find a picture.
I don't.
And we're gonna wrap it up.
Well, did going back to your treadmill, did you
no,
know
that
we own the network?
You know, Nintendo actually did release an exercise bike peripheral for one of their games.
I'm not surprised.
Did you know they released a thing called a power pad?
I knew
that you were supposed to stand on and run to beat Turtle and Cheetah. But I never could, so I would just get down on the ground and start smacking it with my hands. I ran like the Dickens.
I remember the Nintendo coffee table someone made, and they were doing track and field, and so they were just hammering, because like the A and B buttons were like the size of your hand, so they were just like hammering on them.
That's what I did, and then I bought the power glove. God, Nintendo has just made terrible accessories since the beginning. They've been so gimmicky. You know they started as a trading card company?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1468.
And not a trading card company. Like, just a playing card company.
Playing card company.
And, cause, I mean, you actually kind of make, like, it's one of those things where it's the glass shatter from How I Met Your Mother. Nintendo has always had kind of terrible peripherals.
Yeah. Rob the Robot.
Rob the Robot, which even Power that Glove. Wasn't that bad. But Power Glove was bad.
Power Glove was awful.
How much was that supposed to cost?
I have no idea.
Like, did they expect people to actually, I don't know. Jesse just showed me a picture of an actual stationary bike.
Yep.
Nintendo brand.
The Nintendo bike.
God bless you, Nintendo.
Virtual Boy. The
Wii U.
I still never liked the Wii motion controls.
No one did.
No one did.
I always
no one did. They were awful.
Yeah. Some games that were fun. Like, Wii Sports was fun. Wii Sports was a blast.
Yeah, it was a fun party game
for a little while. Until you realized that you could do everything just by like
flicking your wrist.
Because until they had the Wii Motion Plus, it didn't have, like, it was missing a dimension of motion.
Yeah.
It could really only read, like, X and Y. There was no Z.
Mm-hmm.
So it had no idea. Yeah. And, they put the Motion Plus in, which added an accelerometer, and then they were actually able to add almost a Z-axis.
That sounds like a lot of big words just to say Nintendo sucks.
No, I mean, like I said, were it not for, we talk about their marketing and how bad, and again, the Wii was an accident how well they marketed that. It was an accident. It had to have been.
I actually really wanted to talk about the Wii U marketing.
Oh, that was just a terrible,
we'll have to say that
atrocious.
For the next show. We're at an hour 10.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. I got to get home and get me some dinner. I'm hungry. Yeah,
I'm hungry.
He's got to be up at like 6 in the morning.
7.
Okay. we'll call this part 1. We'll do a part 2, and we'll bring Ethan in on part 2 because he's chomping at the bit the entire episode. He has knowledge, and he wants to share it. Maybe we'll do it next week. If not, we'll do it a little bit later. But we'll do that, and tomorrow we're going to do this again with 3 of us. Not you.
Nope, not me.
And we're going to do Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We got some more roster reveals for 2K19.
Big news
2K17. Happened.
2K19! God.
We went way into the future.
Might as well have been 2K09.
2K09 on the P3. Yeah. What would you say? We got some big news?
Yeah, big news happened just the last, like, 2 days.
Oh,
tune in and find out.
I feel like I don't even know. I got to tune in to find out. I want you guys to tune in to find out. That's tomorrow. And then Tanner Thursday on Thursday, and Sports Show maybe back this week. And then, of course, next week is all over again. Jesse, Allie, Asa, as always, thank you. Ethan, thank you. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great night. Allie, let's go get some food.
Okay,